Sports Talk with Joe Smith is proud to present Behind the Scenes with IU Vice President and Director of Athletics, Fred Glass, brought to you by IU Athletics. Come on back home again to Indiana. It's a whole new ballgame. Buy tickets now at IUHoosiers.com. Now, from Yogi's at the corner of 10th and Indiana, here's Joe Smith and Fred Glass.
So it's our final show in September. Fall is upon us, so too plenty to digest with the Vice President Director of Athletics, Fred Glass. His monthly visit tonight on Sports Talk, going behind the scenes, a Big Ten primetime season opener in the conference for Coach Kevin Wilson's footballers, welcoming Michigan State to the Rock, as you heard the ad right before we came on the air. Men's soccer in a midweek showdown there, third round, sixth ranked in the country, and will be taking on Butler out at Armstrong Stadium on Wednesday night. Simon Scott Assembly Hall. Boy, it's a tick, tick, tick. Ready to usher in October soon. We'll get an update tonight from Fred, plus lots more, including the Fred Glass Honor Roll and Department Individual and Spotlight for the month of September. All brought to you by, in part, by the IU Athletics Department, 24 sports, one team. A little bit later, we got a little baseball going on. Hoosier veteran coach Chris Lemonis joins us a little bit later tonight as the 2017 Diamondmen busy with a couple of fall games this weekend out at the beautiful Bart Kaufman Stadium. This is where it all starts, with a talented group of new faces challenging to, find roster spots for next spring. An update on how the fall works have been progressing from the Hoosier head man, Chris Lemonis, a little bit later tonight. Along with our producer, Will Boatman, high atop our One City Center studios downtown, on-site producers Joanna and Mike Lascott, all of our sponsors, including IU Athletics. This is Sports Talk, and we are live from Yogi's Grill and Sports Bar, corner of 10th in Indiana. Hi again, everyone. Joe Smith, and behind the scenes, front and center, with my good friend Fred Glass. And it is, where'd September go, my man? Welcome in to your favorite restaurant in B-Town. Glad you can make it.
Joe, it's great to be here every day, and any day that I get to be with you is a great day.
Well, I thank you very much, Mr.
You're welcome.
Glass. I appreciate that. Lots been going on. Where'd the month go?
Yeah, I know, it's crazy. I feel like I'm coming and going. I told Dolson today that if everything stopped for like 2 weeks, I might be able to catch up. You know, I feel like I'm doing it, but it's all good stuff. It's fun stuff. I just got back from Chicago. I was up there for Big Ten meetings. It's always tough to pull out and go up there and disengage from what's going on here, but really good to be with the colleagues and meet with the senior women administrators and the faculty reps from the different schools, and then got to spend some time with Jim Delaney, and always enjoy that. And, yeah. And so it was a worthwhile trip, but it was crazy getting back here in time, but I'm glad to be here and glad to be with you.
Well, glad you could make it, and we'll touch on mentioning the Big Ten, the season opener, as far as the conference is concerned. A little disappointment, obviously, but that's one game, got plenty left, and everybody's 0-0. Michigan State's 0-1, but prime time. Night game, I know you love that kind of an atmosphere. You're expecting a big crowd, and, I like what I'm seeing from this football team, and let's go have at it in the battle for the old brass platoon on Saturday night.
Yeah, our guys are really fired up and ready to go, and like you said, I think it's going to be just an awesome game, prime time, 8 o'clock under the lights, starting to feel crispness in the air, which has been a long time coming. Hopefully that'll last until this weekend, and certainly at night, that'll help too. So I hope our fans and our ticket holders come out to the game. People without tickets, I hope they buy tickets and come out. We're going to give Michigan State everything we've got, which is a lot. You know, Saturday, you know, it was really disappointing because it was a winnable game against a quality opponent, and we just beat ourselves. And so you don't have to be a rocket scientist or Beano Cook or anything to figure out that you throw it to the wrong guys five times and have nine turnovers or nine penalties, you're going to have trouble. But we were in it till the last possession. And when's the last time somebody had five turnovers and then 496 yards of passing offense, 611 yards? It's a crazy game that sort of defied logic. So both the frustrating and the encouraging thing is penalties and interceptions are eminently fixable. I really believe in these guys. I really believe in Kevin. I loved how he handled the team after the game. It was in the locker room after the game, and And I'm very confident these guys are going to bounce back and have a really good showing on Saturday night.
And, you know, being in the dressing room after the game, too, I like the way the players handled it. It was a disappointment, but it was frustrating from the standpoint, and you just alluded to it. I mean, all the yards that Richard Lego had, the 611 total yards, I mean, that wasn't some fluke. That's how we can run the offense and get things done, as you said, against a quality opponent. What have you been hearing about? We've had two home games now. It's not going to get any better north of us, north of town, but that's going to be around for a while. But what's generally been the feel? What kind of response have you been hearing from the coming in and leaving the Memorial Stadium?
Well, the great thing is our fans have just been so awesome. I mean, our opening game, we had north of 40,000. Last game, I think we had north of 45,000. Our fans are really turning out. They're not being scared away by the traffic, which is great. The first game, I heard nothing but positive things about the traffic, because I think our fans came early and used alternative routes and or both. Last week, I think it was really, really good too. Although there was the water was a little more choppy, I think, because just the additional 5,000 or 6,000 fans exacerbated a little bit. So there's a little slower going on 37, but not too bad. And then in and around the stadium, there's a little traffic that we're working on and all that. So we acknowledge that there are some issues, but we think we're getting over those. And our fans are just being fantastic. And I'm hoping we get tested for a close to capacity crowd on Saturday.
I know that and you and I had talked about this around 50,000 or so, trying to spruce up the place, the cosmetic changes and what have you, the branding, if you will, around the stadium, in the stadium. From what I see, it's another nice touch. Brings a lot to the game atmosphere.
Well, I appreciate that, Joe. You know, we're very serious about that. And Kevin and I literally walk the grounds together, and look at every detail. Touch up of paint here, some rusted fence there, faded branding, because we want to keep it up and have Hoosier fans on Saturdays, but also our recruits as they come in say this is a quality operation. They take care of their stuff. I really appreciate your comments, because they're really consistent with what we hear from our fans, from our recruits, and everybody that comes around the grounds.
How have those tours? And this is something new, isn't it? The tours on Friday night. How's that going?
That's going great, Joe. That's we try to add some wrinkles every year, and that's one we've added this year, and it's been very well received. And I think our fans are enjoying that, and we like to show things off. So thanks for asking. That's been great.
Well, another something you're wanting to show off, and I tell you what, before we're going to blink twice, it's going to be October. As a matter of fact, we usher in October on game night with the Spartans on Saturday, and that is the spiffy new Simon Scott Assembly Hall. And we'll talk to the man in charge of the athletic department, what's going on, the timetable and the dedication and what have you, when we come back, including all of our sports deep into the fall campaign, all doing well. Big soccer game tomorrow night against Butler out at Armstrong. You're listening to Behind the Scenes with Vice President Director of Athletics Fred Glass. It's Sports Talk. Back in a couple of minutes. We're live from Yogi's. Welcome back, everyone. Yogi's Grill and Sports Bar here at the corner of 10th and Indiana. Behind the Scenes with Vice President Director of Athletics, Fred Glass. And as we mentioned, Fred, October pops up, and we usher it in on game night against the Spartans on Saturday. But then 2 weeks beyond that or so, we've talked about it for years, and you just see it taking shape. Talk a little about the format, the progress ahead for the new Simon Scott Assembly Hall.
Well, Joe, that's been happily taking up a lot of my time as we work on finishing touches and so forth. The 14th is coming soon, and the dedication will be at 2 p.m. on the 14th, and I believe it'll be open to the public. People can come and be there for the opening. Or at least in and around that. And I think our fans are going to be really excited about the new Simon Scott Assembly Hall. everything we've done in there has been fan-centered. So from creature comforts like 50% more bathrooms, two-thirds of those will be for women. All the bathrooms are being remodeled, brand-new concession stands, a gigantic new Jumbotron with real, it'll be like watching it in your living room with the high-definition nature of it, new seats throughout. And some hospitality, special hospitality seating that all the proceeds of which will go to scholarship, help fund student scholarships. We're excited by that. The new front door and the south lobby and little touches of the old along with the new, new flooring, new branding, yet most importantly preserving the greatest home court advantage. Yeah. In college basketball, I think ESPN just came out again and ranked us the best in the Big Ten. I think we're the best in the country in terms of giving our students a competitive advantage when they take the court, both the men and women. So we did all the boring stuff too, the electrical, plumbing, mechanical, safety features, brand new alarm system, so that hopefully for another generation it can be and remain the best home court advantage in college basketball.
Now, no question. And when, that is complete, and again, iuhoosiers.com, October the 14th, that is homecoming weekend,
is
it not?
Yep. Yeah. Yep.
And we got Nebraska coming in, I think, on the Huskers finally make
we do.
Memorial Stadium appearance on that particular day. You know, in addition to that, take us through the progress, at least where we are. Relevant. I know you got your focus on the Simon Scott Assembly Hall and one thing at a time, but that being said, the new arena that will house volleyball and also wrestling.
Wrestling, yeah, we're excited about that, Joe. We've got really five major projects that are part of our bicentennial facilities planning piece, and we're getting ready to open up numero uno, the Simon Scott Assembly Hall. And then we'll break ground right after football season on the new Excellence Academy in the South End Zone, which will be totally student-athlete-centered, nutrition, leadership, life skills, rehabilitation, wellness. And will clearly, I think, be a big plus for our football program as well. But the building's really driven toward supporting our student-athletes in everything they do. And I might note the goal is not to increase capacity. I think our capacity is right about where it should be. So there'll be some minimal increase, but I wouldn't want your listeners to misperceive that that's about added capacity because it's really not.
Okay.
But it'll be a great new front door, not only for the athletics campus, but I think the university more generally, a really cool entry plaza, and we'll have some tricks up our sleeve with that, which I think will be well received by our fans. And then to your point, the next piece will be the indoor arena to get volleyball and wrestling out of 46 of the bypass. That's a challenging place to find. The parking isn't great, and the trustees' long-term master plan was to bring that onto the athletics campus. We'll do so. Also has that as a multi-purpose venue to help support Mellencamp for winter indoor training. Those three things are going to happen. We have two targets of opportunity as well. We hope to get a major gift to enable us to rebuild the golf course, and we're very excited about that. That's been a conundrum for a long time. And then secondly, if we get a lead gift, we'd like to do some major renovations at Armstrong for our men's and women's soccer program, consistent with it continuing to be the great home of the Little 500.
Well, you just took us right around the block, and I was trying to get and pinpoint the agenda items, and very well put. So Simon Scott, and then obviously after our final home game, after we retain the bucket with the PUs, the digging will start and the construction will start on the south end. You're mentioning Armstrong, a lot of good stuff. That was a big win for Amy Burberry's squad as they beat Wisconsin the other day. But it's been solid for the men, and we got a little primetime 8 o'clock, or rather 7:30 game tomorrow night. Got to maybe score a few more goals, but I tell you what, a tie's maybe like kissing your sister, but a tie beats a loss.
Well, that's true, and we're playing high-quality teams, undefeated, and
19 years, I think. This is our best stretch.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Big.
Yeah, exactly. And Indiana soccer is about getting ready for the postseason, and we want to win the Big Ten championship, but we want to play really good competition, and be well tested and ready for the postseason, and and Todd's crew is really doing that. I really like these guys, I really like to beat Butler. So that's a big game for not only IU but me personally, because I know a lot of Butler people, and I'd like to beat them.
I do too.
Yeah,
I do too. I mean, you know, this is like we love to beat the school up to the northwest of us. Hoosiers, by the way, are ranked number six, by the way, in the new polls. So that will be, and this has been boy, I tell you, Colin Webb is just playing his rump off in between the pipes. I mean, these shutouts just don't happen. There's a reason for it. And that young man has just been, one of the top goalies in the country. You know, mentioning, too, going back to the women's side, this Kate Barber now leading the nation in scoring with those field hockey sticks. She certainly has been able to find the goal, and Amy and Amanda Janney's got the field hockey crew in a winning mode, which is good. They got Iowa Friday.
Yeah, and Iowa, you know, they're always a tough out in field hockey, kind of a great field hockey tradition out there, and AJ's is doing a great job with these kids. I had the pleasure of being at one of their recent matches, and man, they just fight till the end. They know what they're doing. They're well coached, and was glad to see them get that W the other day.
Well, I know we got other sports going on. We mentioned the volleyball team, or we didn't mention them, but we will, because the cream of the crop, and Fred, it happens every year. We're in the doggone toughest league in the nation. And that being said, numbers 2 and 3 come into Bloomington at UGym on this weekend, and we're talking about Minnesota and Wisconsin. Tough one with Purdue the other night, but that being said, we got them back here November the 16th. But, you know, here they are, and playing awfully well.
Yeah, no doubt. And we're, you know, I loved it that we won our Big Ten opener. Every match is tough in the Big Ten, and so it was great to win at home and hold serve, as it were. And then Purdue's ranked 10th, I think, in the country, at least they were when we played them. And then we got 2 and 3, and then I think some other ridiculously high-ranked team.
Ohio State.
So it's a tough stretch, but I really like this team. They're kind of like a barbell. You know, they've got, I think, 5 freshmen, and they've got 5 seniors, and then maybe 1 or 2 in the middle classes. So they're loaded up front and on the back, but they really mesh well, and I like this. I like this team a lot, you know, we'll keep fighting. I encourage our fans to come out from Minnesota and Wisconsin. A, you'll see great volleyball, and B, you know, these are great opportunities to face the second, third team in the country, rank the country, and the fans can help make a difference.
Yeah, no question. Friday night, 7 o'clock. Saturday night also at 7 o'clock. And again, think pink for the football game coming up this Saturday night at 8 o'clock. And before we get to your spotlight, when I think of breast awareness, we had a young lady leave us over the weekend, tragically, and I know you'd like to say a few words about the sudden passing of Allison Heppner, Fred.
Yeah, this is the kind of thing that just knocks you right out of your shoes.
Sad.
When I heard, and you know, she's on the front page of the HT, I think, just a few days before this tragic accident, and as always, giving to others, and the cancer run, and sharing her personal story of challenge but triumph. It's just not to be believed. And I just want to share on behalf of the entire IU family, athletics, and IU generally our deepest condolences to Allison's family, and encourage people to come to the service at 11 o'clock on Friday at Sherwood Oaks Christian Church, or the visitation at the same place, 4 to 8 on Thursday. And our thoughts and prayers are with her family.
Well put. And again, our best to the family. Obviously, Jane Heppner going through tragedy herself, of the Heppner family, including Allison, when she was growing up with our former head coach, who left us way too early as well. Truly sad. And thoughts and prayers to the entire Heppner family from everyone. Well, what do you got for us in the spotlight? You always like to kind of end up your monthly visit to with that, so that's your expertise along with everything else you've given us tonight. But what you got cooking for September?
Well, I want to highlight our media relations area, Joe, and it's a large one. The demands on media relations have really expanded beyond the old SID days and kind of name, rank, and serial number. They do so much for our program, and sometimes almost act as a surrogate director of ops or a supplemental director of ops. All the different things they do. And back when I was in government, we always said that the media relations folks had a tough job because they need to advocate for the press with their boss, the mayor, mm-hmm. the governor, whoever, and they needed to advocate for the governor, the mayor, their coach in this case with the press, and sometimes that's a challenging piece. But I want to name them all because it's a great group. J.D. Campbell is kind of leader of the band and probably is maybe more known than a lot of these other folks. But Jeff Keg, of course, with football. Greg Kincaid, Scott Burns, Jeremy Rosenthal, Caitlin Davis, Megan Cramper, Nick Reith, Charlie Duffy, Ryan Sheets, and then of course Jeremy Gray is our overall director, yeah. but isn't as much in the detail. Does a great job, but isn't much in the detail of it as these other folks. So they do a great job, and we appreciate that. And it's more and more challenging the more and more media exposure that there is. But I'll go ahead and any one of these folks could be the employee of the spotlight. But I really wanted to give it to Kegger, Jeff Keg, who does a great job with the football program and actually won a national award as being one of the best SIDs in the country for football. He's, as you know him, he's understated, unflappable, yep. Person of total integrity. And Jeff Keg is my employee in the spotlight.
Well, Jeff does a great job, and Kelsey the same way when she was she worked and still working for Indiana University.
Right.
And I can remember when Kelsey was up above us, she used to take care of the Big Ten replay officials every Saturday for a couple of years. That was her prime duty. But, yeah, tireless, and all of the guys, I mean, and gals. Megan Cramper, a new hire. She'll be taking care of basketball and is working now with women's golf here in the fall. Had a chance to meet her, and she's looking forward to basketball. Young lady that came to us from Indiana State, I believe. So, every sport I rely on, 24/7. I mean, and they're always there supplying us with the information. You mentioned Greg Kincaid. We got Chris Lemonis coming in here in a bit, but Greg is kind of Jeff's right-hand man in football, and Nate Weechers is yet another one that needs to be talked about as well.
Yep.
So a great group. Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday. I'm looking forward to October. Got anything else, irons in the fire of note?
Well, one thing I might mention, since we're talking about the media folks, of course, when we open Simon Scott Assembly Hall, we're also opening the Mark Cuban Center for Sports, Media, and Technology. And all of our media relations folks who I mentioned, plus some others, are going to be housed in there. So they'll be directly connected with the people working on the video stuff, with the SIDs. I think they'll also be in a place that actually has windows, and the accommodations will be better. So. But I think that's going to help everybody do their job in a better way because those folks in the front lines will be directly accessible to the technology, the video pieces, and all the rest. So hopefully it'll result in a better product for our fans.
And another good piece of news from the Glass family, Grandpa. You're going to be Grandpa for, a third time next
third
spring?
Third time. I know I look way too young to be a grandfather, but I'm it's all it's cracked up to be. I'm really enjoying it, and I'm glad that... Joey and Emily are expecting a newborn.
Well, give them my best. How are things up on 2801 West 86th Street at our favorite high school, Brebeuf Jesuit?
You know, it's funny you ask because I was just there for a former board chair function, and they were talking about all the great things going on out there. So, it's as great as it was when we were there, Joe. It's an even better place now.
Yeah, it sure is. Sure is. 50th. What do we got going on? I think it's this weekend they play. I can't go because I got a high school football game, but 51 years? I don't know. Class reunion.
You're 50?
Yeah.
You're really old.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah. We'll end it on that note. Hey,
right.
We'll see you, though, and you look great, man.
Oh, thanks,
I mean,
brother.
You're really coming down from Chicago. I know you haven't been home for a while, but get some rest. We'll see you Saturday night, and we'll see you at the end of October. One of my favorite live radio shows from one of my favorite restaurants in B-Town.
It's the best.
Brett, we'll see you in October.
Thank you
so much. Have a great week.
All right, man. Appreciate it.
And when we come back, we'll talk a little fall baseball, talking about a lot of our amenities within the athletic department and all of our structures. You can't beat beautiful Bart Kauffman Stadium, almost unbeatable the Hoosiers have been since it's been built, and an opportunity with some nice weather to watch a couple of fall games. We'll check it out with the head coach in his third year, Chris Lemonis. When we come back, you're listening to Sports Talk. We're live from Yogi's. Welcome back, everyone. Sports Talk continuing. And, I know what date it is, but we're just getting ready to swing into the MLB most important stretch, and we're talking the Diamond Game with Chris Lemonis joining us, the skipper of the Hoosiers, and they've been busy. And, Chris, a beautiful 77-degree day, plenty of sunshine. Let's play, too. Mentioning, too, you got some baseball this weekend. It's great seeing you. Thanks for dropping into our little dugout tonight.
Yeah, no problem. I'm excited to be here. It's been a great week for us because we've had some really hot weather the first couple weeks out on the field, so it's been nice to be out and have this nice weather. And we actually have two games coming up that are open to the public this weekend.
And that's Bellarmine and Michigan State on Friday and also on Saturday. Well, you know, it's been nothing but competitive. You've done an outstanding job since you've been on board. And just talk a little about the recruiting season coming out of last year and the guys that are on campus and some holes to fill with these young men that are going to be fighting for roster spots come spring.
It's an exciting time. We lost a lot of guys from last year's team, a couple good draft picks and seniors that had graduated. But we our recruiting class that's on campus now just got rated 28th in the country, first in the Big Ten. And that's with us losing two high schoolers to the MLB that signed right out of high school. But with our group, we were excited about that group
tough.
Coming in.
Yeah, that. But you kind of, you know, roll dice?
Yeah. I mean, you work so hard for them, you'd like to get them to show up. That's one of the hardest parts of our job and one of the biggest things that we got to do.
Well, no question. And I'm mentioning guys that are coming back, though, and you had a lot of quality move on to the next level. We'll talk about that in a second. But a young man that is back is Craig Dedalo, and I know you're tickled to have him back.
Very excited. He was the one. We lost an outfielder from Chicago, and then we gained an outfielder for an extra year with Craig Dedalo, which was fortunate for us. We may have one of the better outfields in the country with Craig. Logan Sowers will be back, should be a big draft pick this year. And we have Alex Krupa and Laren Eustace, four potential major league draft picks this upcoming year.
Well, you know, and Dedalo is a young man that was selected by the Pirates in the 34th round, opted to come back, but yet 2-1-4. Caleb Berger, obviously, Jake Kelzer, Kyle Hart, those are some guys that have made impacts already in their professional careers. Talk about them.
Yeah, they had a couple of them got the, you know, Kyle Hart kind of got shut down a little bit this summer.
Did he?
Pitched a couple innings, but Caleb Berger had a great summer. We actually had Evan Bell sign with the White Sox, too. He had a really good summer, jumped out with those guys. Jake bounced around, had a really good summer. I think he headed out last week for Instruct. So they're already back out there, a lot of them. But we have a strong group of Hoosiers running through the minor leagues right now.
Well, and we're talking about games coming up for the baseball Hoosiers of Chris Lemonis this weekend with Bellarmine, Friday night at 7 o'clock. And then that matinee game, 2:30 with MSU?
Emmett, 2:30. So we're going to play. It's a little different format because it's more like a scrimmage or a practice. Excuse me. But we've at 7 o'clock Friday night, we're going to play 10 innings against Bellarmine. And it's kind of scripted out, so we could, you know, pitch a guy two innings, take him out or whatever. And then on Saturday, we're playing 12 innings with Michigan State from that point. So we'll play both of those.
Free and open to the public. I know the schedule, the Big Ten schedule, will come. They won't be on it since we played them last year. They won't be on our –
Exactly.
What is that scheduling? I'm not going to call it a snafu, but it makes the old man here. It screws me up because I have a hard time tracking who's on, who's off, and why.
As the head coaches in our league, it's one of our hardest things because you miss four teams every year. So my first year here, you know, scheduling wise, when you miss four teams, you don't play them because we have the odd team because Wisconsin doesn't have baseball. And so what hurts you in baseball is then you need to play 10 weeks of Big Ten baseball, but you don't have enough weather to handle it because some of our more northern schools can't play that early. So we play an 8-week Big Ten schedule. So sometimes, you know, you're going to, like this year, we miss Michigan State. And so that's why they're coming down here and playing, and they're heading over to the game after that.
Well, I know, too, that, you know, within your ranks, and he's been with you side by side, and it was great to see Kyle Bunn elevated to associate head coach. I mean, Kyle's your pitching coach, but he's starting his third year. But great man, great instructor, and has been a difference maker in the brief years that he's been here.
No doubt, no doubt. I was fortunate I coached Kyle in college, so then I've you know, I've known him a long time and just know about his work ethic and what he's about. And then you tack on the pitching coach ability. I think we were 11th in the country last past year, which is just phenomenal for our guys. And it's really what kept us in it throughout the, you know, the last weekend of the year playing for a conference championship is our pitching was just very elite.
Been around a long time, Kyle has. He's, entered his 15th or 16th year. Well, again, too, I look at last year's roster, but I'm looking at some familiar names. Who is, well, let's talk about the inter-squad scrimmages and some of the fall work. When'd you start, and whereabouts are you? I know you're, and how far will you extend? Will these games wrap up the fall practice or no?
No, we're in week three.
Okay.
You know, so we're about halfway through. We got scrimmages this week. Next week we have Scout Day where all the scouts come in and see us. We play Xavier the following week of that, after that, and then we have our World Series at the end. We finish about mid-October.
Oh.
So we're about halfway through right now. And we are we're a very veteran offensive team, and we're a very young and youthful pitching staff. So I wish we could have that balance a little bit better. But the one thing about our pitching staff, it's very talented. So that's why with a guy like Kyle Bond, you have so much respect for him to get the talent out of those young kids and see him pitch. We've just had so many older, talented pitchers the last couple of years that have moved on. It's going to be an exciting time.
You know, one guy that I built a good relationship with last year, Ryan Feinman, your outstanding backstop, who was a freshman. Now he's a sophomore. He handled the pitching staff, but just a super young man. And, boy, you kind of put me on to him, and then, boy, he didn't let you down any, did he?
No, he was very good. He's one of the better catchers in the country, and he likes to talk, so I'm sure that's why you enjoyed him. He's a very talkative, personable kid.
He's got a future out of baseball.
He's got a future. He's going to coach or something, I promise you. He has that type of personality. But he's had a good fall. He's battling a little tendonitis in his shoulder, so we've shut some of that down. But he'll catch this weekend and jump out there and catch. But he's just one of those few, you know, exciting guys that we got in that class for those guys with Luke Miller and Scotty Bradley that we're expecting big years out of.
Austin Cangelosi now is a senior. I can remember when he first broke in here and, comes from good stock, good baseball stock. But just tell us, who are the seniors that you're expecting good, solid seasons from, both on and off the field?
You know, in our world, our offense last year, we were banged up and probably underperformed. We got some of these great seniors back for this year that I'm really excited about. With you go to first base, you got Austin Cangelosi. Second base is Tony Butler, who won a gold glove, didn't make an error the entire year, and he's backed up by senior Colby Stratton, who Colby's battling in there for one of those middle infield spots, and he didn't make an error last year. You go to the outfield, Alex Krupa's a senior who's got a chance to be, he's been drafted twice, but I thought his season last year was just okay. And then we got Craig Dietelo, who was good, but I think Craig can even play better. So it's a group that we're really excited about with those guys out there.
Well, you know, too, we saw a young man that I watched grow up. I can remember when he was born, Jake Kelzer, and then watched him at Bloomington South and then make his expertise known on the collegiate level before he went into the pros. But you mentioned another young man in Colby Stratton out of Bloomington North. Where's he at right now with this game? He came up with, so I can remember, you'd stick him in tough situations, Chris, and he'd come up with some gigantic big hits for you.
Colby's the rock. I mean, he is about pretty much what our program's about. I mean, he is
good.
A tough kid, plays hard, has really, I mean, really made some defensive strides in the last year. I watch him, and he can pretty much play anywhere in the infield, and he just shows up ready to go every day. I mean, last year at the end of the season, he played with a broken foot. Nobody knew about the last couple of weeks just because Butler got hurt and he had to play. And he just, I mean, he's the epitome of the team player. Working offensively, still got to improve. But the one thing I've always said about Colby, you always know what you're going to get. The situation's never too big for him. He's just got a lot of maturity to him as a player. And, you know, I watch a Colby, and I know he's going to be great off the field too, because he's a great student. He's going to do well once he leaves here, once he leaves IU.
Yeah, he's just a natural. I mean, a natural hitter. He was born with that bat in his hand since he's been a little boy. And it's just great to see him staying here and playing for you and playing for the baseball Hoosiers. Well, you kind of took us from third to first and left to right in the outfield. Who of the newcomers that you recruited that are, you know, in camp, who's kind of turned your head, who's been impressive as they get their feet wet on the collegiate level?
Well, we got a couple battles going on. So we have a freshman from Chicago, Jeremy Houston, who's about 5'9", shortstop, but a very talented defensive player. Probably a little behind offensive right now, which is normal for freshmen, but has a chance to defend at a really high level. Really fun player to watch, and just got one of those beaming smiles and personalities that I think our fans will really love to watch. And then we have our two catchers are battling out behind Ryan Feynman, Eric Hansen, who's a sophomore from Chicago.
Okay.
And then our freshman is Jake Matheny, who's Mike Matheny's son from the St. Louis Cardinals, and was the Gatorade Player of the Year in Missouri last year. So everyone has their strength. He's probably a little ahead offensively right now, a little behind defensively, which is pretty normal for catchers at this level. She hit a home run off the top of the scoreboard her first weekend, so has a lot of talent and expectations there. Where you're going to see our newcomers for the most part is on the mound. We brought in about 9 pitchers, so you're going to see some of these young guys, a bunch of left-handed pitchers, so and we're excited about them.
Chris, will you have the ability? Of course, you got a lot of time to think about a rotation, but you had the top three, but with the youth of the pitching, what's your thoughts about what are you envisioning as you kind of maybe sit and think about your rotation for the year?
Well, we got, we lost a lot, but the handful of guys that we got back, we got some nice pieces. Jonathan Stever is a really good young arm for us, a 90-92 mile-an-hour righty. Paulie Milto from Greenwood really has a chance to be pretty good. And a kid that's a junior, Brian Hobby, for us, he had a tremendous summer, voted the number one prospect in his league. Has a chance to really jump out there and help us this year. He's been on and off for us his first 2 years, but I'm really excited about him right now. And then our bullpen on the backside, you have Luke Stevenson and B.J. Sable, who are both older players who could really help us. So, I think the key is that those 5 older kids and maybe a couple others can make a jump. It could really help the freshmen, move into those roles without having too much pressure on them.
Well, we're talking baseball with Chris Lemonis and Chris and the crew. Again, free and open to the public, 7 o'clock with Bellarmine out at the Bart on Friday night, 2:30 against the Michigan State Spartans, Big Ten. What are you kind of finding out about yourself now, Chris, as you, baseball has been your life, and you've been, at some top programs, including Louisville, before you took over here, but each year is different. Well, are you a different guy than you were when you were hired back 3 years ago?
I hope so. I hope I've gotten
better.
Well,
what are you finding out about yourself?
Well, you just, maybe not so quick to answer or do and let our kids play a little bit and let them play. Like, my old boss at Louisville would tell me all the time, don't get too excited about them and don't get too down on them, like as a coach, because, you have that first couple of weeks and somebody plays really good. And, our game's one of those where you have to handle the slumps and the lower parts. So that's been a part as a head coach, having that gut feeling, but also the ability to communicate, I think, is a big part with our guys. I think when you see great managers in the big leagues and stuff like that, they have a great rapport with their players and just an honest, open line of communication, good or bad, whatever it might be, to be able to sit guys down and talk and kind of let them know where they're at. And I try to spend more time on that side with our guys than just hitting defense or whatever. Ours is such a mental game and a trust game. I think that's a big part.
Well, your baseball director of baseball ops, Roger Rodehaver, wanted me to remind everybody about the golf classic coming up. Big fundraiser, and it's coming up. And that's going to be on the 14th. Now, that we just had Fred in. That is the lot going on that day, the Simon Scott Assembly Hall dedication. We got homecoming. That's homecoming weekend with Nebraska. So
it should be a great weekend. We have our golf tournament that Friday, and then we play our World Series games that night afterwards.
Oh,
so it's
great.
That evening. We have a big game open. All our games in the fall are open. They're free. Our practices are open, so we play that night. Saturday we do our alumni games, so all our alumni come back, and then Sunday we play another game. So it's a big weekend. I'm amazed. I've only been here 2 full years, but boy, when you're a special school like Indiana, how many people come back? It's amazing how many people come back on those homecoming weekends. I was from a smaller college, so we had nothing like this. But all our alumni, baseball alumni, and there's a lot of pride in Indiana baseball right now.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that, because you'll be going back to where it all began for you. And congratulations from us being inducted into the Citadel Athletics Hall of Fame, and mentioning, I don't know if you'll be able to go to that down there, but and we can get you on a jet. You can do that.
You laugh, but Fred actually did get me on one to come back for our World Series game. So
hey,
that's our athletic department for you.
There is
first class as possible.
Hey,
so.
But you're one of six to go into the Athletics Hall of Fame at the Citadel, and you had a brilliant career. What do you recall just briefly about Chris growing up and maturing and continuing to love the game and play it the way you did as a power hitter with the Citadel?
I was very fortunate. I wasn't a very good player early in my career and able to put it together and play. I could always hit. I wasn't real good defensively, and it took me a while to figure it out. And, the neat thing, I was put around a bunch of great guys. We were only military school that's ever been to Omaha, so I was just fortunate to be at the right place at the right time, and it was just a neat group of guys that I got to play with and coach with, and that's what you remember when you go back. All my teammates are coming back and everything else, so that's a special side,
Well, it is, and you came at the right time, and we're just tickled to have you, Chris, you mentioned it. And you're going to have fans out at the barn, and I'm glad you extended that invite to everyone here in the Bloomington and listening to us in the surrounding, because the attendance at the games, the guys respond. This is our home. You've been so tough to beat at the barn since it's been built, one of the prettiest stadiums around these parts.
Let me add something. They just voted in Division I baseball. We're in the top. We were 34th in the country of nicest ballpark, which is really – we were 2 in the Big Ten, which Nebraska plays in the Pro Park, but they voted us as one of the top parks in the country. And one of the neat things, I was at our head coaches meeting, and we're still trying to figure out our tournament, where our tournament's going to go this year. And it was neat because they said, well, what if we played it on campus? And all of our coaches in the league were like, well, we play it anywhere, let's play it in Bloomington, which I'm thinking we're going to get a park to play it in, but I just thought it was an unbelievable compliment from all the coaches in our league, just talking about the ballpark, the atmosphere, the town. Just everybody enjoys coming here and playing. And when you hear it from your peers, I think that's a pretty big, compliment to your program, but also to our fan base. We look up, we're in the top of our league in attendance. And then the next spot is like we double everybody, and so – it's a neat thing to have, and it's a special home field advantage for us.
Well, again, it's great having you and your staff and what you've been able to do here in such a short period of time. Best of luck to you, and I know – well, by the way, I can't let you go. When is the opening game in 2017? How early
– put me on the spot. It's
okay.
The second – no, you're good. I know who we're playing. I don't know the
who
date.
Who are we playing?
We're playing Oregon State. We go to a tournament out in Arizona.
Okay.
And we're playing Oregon State, Gonzaga, and Duke. So we play 4 games out there. All 3 teams were in the NCAAs. And then we got some neat early season. The following weekend, we go to Florida Atlantic, who's 15th in the country last year. So we fly down to Florida and play. And then I'm thinking of week 3.
When's the home opener at the BART?
It's the fifth weekend.
Fifth weekend.
We All actually, right. The weekend before, we're in Hawaii. We're going to Hawaii for spring break.
Hey.
So.
Hey, you need a ball boy or
yeah, we need a radio man. So
yeah,
come
okay.
On.
Well,
so
there you go.
Come on. Greg Murray wouldn't be too happy, but
see. Greg does a great job. My friend, thanks for dropping
Thank you.
In. Chris Lamone is joining us, and we'll wrap up things. You're listening to Sports Talk. We're live from Yogi's. Closing out things here at Yogi's Grill and Sports Bar. Our Employee of the Week, by the way, is Shara Schilling. And congratulations to Sarah. And don't forget, Reds coming up with St. Louis, 8:05 tonight with the pregame. And also Butler and the Hoosiers, ranked 6th this week in the zone. It'll be Dave and Terry Stoltz. Class will be handling the goings on at the Yeagley pitch. So just some of the bill of fare, and you've been listening to Sports Talk. We'll have another show again, our first in October, for Will Boatman and all of our sponsors, including Royal South, Toyota Scion, and, of course, Yogi's, and all of our sponsors. That's the show. You've been listening to Sports Talk on News Talk 96.1 AM 1370 WGCL.